Okay, Boker Tov. Today is March 24th, 2014, and we are here at Robert M. Barron Academy in Houston, Texas, for the first of a three-part series on Pesach. Today we're going to talk about the structure of the Haggadah, and before we begin, I'll just note that much of what I'm going to say is based on an article written by man with an interesting name, Rabbi Shimon Gesundheit, who has this article on the virtual Beit Midrash, on the order of the Seder, and it's really an exceptional approach to the Haggadah, which I think could help us frame our Seder, because one of the questions that we have about the Seder is there any structure to it, or is it just a collection, a haphazard collection of rabbinical teachings and midrashim that all have to do with Yitziat Mitzrayim, with the Exodus from Egypt. And since they're all of the same theme, they're all sort of thrown in the basket of what became the Haggadah. So this morning I hope to be able to show through our discussion that there actually is a theme, and it's a theme that's repeated four times in the Haggadah. So one could really argue that it's not one Haggadah that we have on Pesach, it's four Haggadot that we have. And then I think the last question we'll answer is, okay, if there are four Haggadot and they all follow the same structure, then why do we need four Haggadot? Many people would be happier to have one and get to Shulchan Aruch a little quicker. There is, I think, a very important reason why there are four. So let's start with the Mishnah in Masechet Pesachim that highlights one of the key factors of the Haggadah, and that is the Mishnah in Masechet Pesachim that picks up the Seder. At the series of Mishnayot in Pesachim walk us through the entire Seder, and this Mishnah picks up from the second kos. V'kan haben shoel aviv. So the second cup of wine is poured, and the son is supposed to then inquire of his father. And if the son is unable to do this, the father is bound to instruct him as follows. Why is this night different from all other nights? And then the Mishnah lists the four questions. Of course, number three, which is about the way that the meat was eaten, is only relevant in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, and we switch that out for a different question. So the point that this Mishnah is making for the purposes of our discussion is that there's an obligation to engage in questions and answers at the Seder. That the Yitziat Mitzrayim, the story of if the central mitzvah of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Hold on one second. So the central mitzvah of the night is to tell the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim, but we're not supposed to tell it as a narrative. We're supposed to start with questions and answers. And that's what this Mishnah is telling us, that really the son should inquire. But if the son can't inquire, then you see the father is obligated to teach him about the Seder through questions and answers. He has to start with, and this is a key piece, Manish Tana Halayla Hazem Mikolot. Why is this night different from all other nights? So that's one key point for us to remember. That's sort of, if we're going to try to build the character of the Seder, I said the first building block is that it has to be done in a question and answer framework. Then we have this other notion at the end of the Mishnah, which is a little bit well known, matchil beginut u'misayim b'shevach, that we have to start with something negative, or start with something with shame, as it's translated here, and then conclude with praise. And then there's a machloket in the Gemara, which is recorded later, as to what the genut is, what the negative aspect of the Haggadah that we start with is. And if we turn the page and we see the second source from Masechet Pesachim, we can see that matchil begenut u'misayim b'shevach. My begenut, what is the shameful historical piece that we begin the Haggadah with? I'm sorry. It is Rav Amar Mitchila Ovde Avodat Gilulim Hayu Avotenu, that we were originally, our ancestors were originally idol worshippers. And Shmuel Amar Avadim Hayinu. Shmuel says it is we start with Avadim Hayinu, we were slaves. What's the difference? Why does Rav say we start with our history of being idol worshippers, and why does Shmuel say we start with our history of being slaves? So one of the well-known explanations is, well, because Rav thinks we should start with the Seder should be focused on the spiritual, so we start with something spiritually negative, and through Yitziat Mitzrayim and Har Sinai, we made our way out of that that type of religious life. And Shmuel says, no, we should stay more to the point of the night, which is Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, and so we should start with Avadim Hayinu. And there are other explanations, but that's not the focus here. One question that interests me is, I always wondered, what did Rav and Shmuel really have different Seders? Meaning, if you went to Rav's house for Seder, right, did he start the Haggadah or only have in his Haggadah, with his Seder, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Kulam Hayavotenu? And when if you went to Shmuel's house, he just had Avadim Hayinu. So it's actually a machloket. If you see where the highlighted section is, according to Rabbeinu Hananel and the Vudraham, that's exactly what happened. If you went to Rav's house, he only said, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Gilulim Hayavotenu. And if you went to Shmuel's house, you would have noticed that he only said Avadim Hayinu Lefar B'Mitzrayim. On the other hand, the Ritva says, no, they agree that both should be said. They're only disagreeing as to what should come first. So that's sort of the second building block of the Seder. The first building block is questions and answers. And the second building block is this notion of Matchil Beginut. We start with something negative, and then we end with something positive. So we've already talked about the importance of questions. And they're important because we want to get the children involved. We want to get the curiosity of the children piqued. If you ask questions, they can give answers, and they could become involved actually in Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. Okay, we don't have to do these other sources because they're sort of just teaching us the importance and the reasoning of the Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. So now we could come to sort of the first break, and on page 3, where we see we have two Haggadot already, right? We have the Gadah. That's already clear in the Gemara. We have the Haggadah of Rav and the Haggadah of Shmuel. And let's see how it fits in so far to our framework. We have to start with questions. So where does Shmuel, if you remember, Shmuel said we have to start with Avadim Hayinu. But before that, we have to see where the questions are. And that's easy. On page 10 in the Haggadah, we see the four questions on the top. So right away we see that we have two Haggadot. The first one we'll call the Haggadah of Shmuel, which begins with, like we said, you have to start with questions, Manishtana, on top of page 10 in the Haggadah. And the answer is in the form of a story. Okay, so we have the beginning with the questions, Manishtana, and then another important factor is the answer is not just an answer, it's told as a story. And the story of Shmuel's Haggadah is Avadim Hayinu Lefar B'Mitzrayim. So that's sort of Haggadah number one. And if you Haggadah number two, this is where it gets a little more interesting, is Rav's Haggadah. But we have to figure out, does Rav's Haggadah fit into the structure that we've built so far, which is you have to start with a question and you have to answer with a story. And you'll notice that it does, because Rav's Haggadah starts with the four sons. And the four sons are also questions and answers. Right, each one asks a question. Chacham Mahu Omer, Maha Idut Vachukim Vamishpatim. Every single one of them asks a question, except the Einu Yudei L'Shol, who doesn't know, but you have to open up for him and you have to teach him the question. So there you have the questions and answers of the questions of the four sons. And the answer is on page 14, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avotenu. So already we see two Haggadot, because we have the same structure twice. Questions followed by an answer in the form of a story, and then questions followed by answers in the form of a story.
I wonder why Yachol Mirosh Chodesh comes here then. I mean, is that part of the answer? Is that part of the question? After the four sons.
After the four sons. Ah, right, that's a good question. Why is that here? Not sure. Good question. Okay, so there's another factor that is required of the Haggadah, and that is the obligation of thanksgiving. If you look back on the source sheet, on page 3, there's a very nice quote from Rabbi Soloveitchik, where he says, the obligation of remembering does not impose on the person the obligation of praise and thanksgiving. Here, Rabbi Soloveitchik is answering an important question, which is, what's the difference between what we do on Pesach night of remembering Yitziat Mitzrayim, of the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim, versus what we're supposed to do every day, which is remembering Yitziat Mitzrayim, where we have an obligation to remember that every day. So what's the difference? So one is, the obligation of remembering does not impose on the person the obligation of praise and thanksgiving. By contrast, the commandment of reciting the story obligates us not only to tell of the wonders and miracles that God performed, but also to praise and thank him. Therefore, it is our duty to thank, praise, etc., and that is the basis for the recitation of Hallel on the Seder night. So there's another, this is sort of the third piece. Each one of these pieces has to have a thanksgiving piece. And this is based on the Gemara that says, Amar le Rav Nachman lidaro avdei, avda demapik le marye lecherut, v'yahiv le kaspa v'dahava ma bai lememar. So this is a Daru, one of the famous servants in the Talmud. When a master frees his slave and gives him gold and silver, what should the slave say to the master? My bailame marle amarle bai leivude ulishvuche. He should thank him and praise him. And that's the source that Rabbi Soloveitchik has, that there's an obligation on the Seder night to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Tziat Mitzrayim to actually offer praise and thanks. So if that's the case, and we're arguing that Rav's approach represents one Haggadah, and Shmuel's approach represents another Haggadah, then we have to find an aspect of thanksgiving in each of the Haggadot. So where's Shmuel's thanksgiving? That is Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, which you find on page 10, right? If we consider the beginning of our Haggadah to be Shmuel's Haggadah, on the bottom of that page, blessed is the omnipresent, blessed he, blessed he who gave the Torah to Israel, his people, blessed is he. And that sort of ends the story, because Avadim Hayinu, and then we left Mitzrayim, we got to Har Sinai, and that represents the thanksgiving aspect of Shmuel's Haggadah. We also should be able to find some sort of thanksgiving in Rav's Haggadah, and that we find on the bottom of page 14. Baruch Shomer Haftachato Li Yisrael Baruch Hu. Shakadosh Baruch Hu Chishev Atakets, etc. And he took us out of Mitzrayim. V'achar Kein Yetzu Baruch Hu Shkadol. So now we have two Haggadot, each with three blocks. We start each Haggadah with questions, either Manish Tana or the four sons. We answer those questions with a story, either Avadim Hayinu or Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoteinu. And we end each section with thanksgiving, either Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu or Baruch Shomer Haftachato Li Yisrael. And I sort of put that down on the bottom of page 3. Okay.
You also have in each one, you have like a little agada to tell what the sages did. Like one was what the sages did, and then one is what the avot did.
Oh, nice. Very good.
So it's a parallel structure.
So now the question is, what about the rest of the Haggadah? So here's where I think Rabbi Gesundheit gets really interesting. There's another Haggadah, and that is, which starts with Tseyu Lamad on page 16. Because remember, we said we have to start with shame. Right? Each of the Haggadot starts with shame. So we start with shame here. Tsei ulamad. And it's all, not only is it shame, it's a question. Where do you see the question? Ma bikesh lavan ha'arami lasot liyakov avinu. That's a great insight by Rabbi Gesundheit. Right? That we see another set of questions, or at least in this case, another question. What did Lavan the Aramean want to do to our fathers Yaakov? And the answer is in the form of a story. He puts a question mark after that. Ma vikesh Lavan Rabbi Lasot Liyakov Avinu? Question mark. Sheparo lo gazara al zacharim, v'lavan vikesh lakorthiko. That's the answer. Shenemar, and a story. Arami oved aviv v'ered mitraima. So we have that same structure. We start with a question, which is a negative, and we start with a question, and we answer with a story of a negative. And this is actually physical and spiritual. Rav and Shmuel split it up, but here it's physical and spiritual because we talk about Parlo Zachar Zacharim and Arami Oved Avi. So we have a spiritual and physical negative aspect in that one question, and Vayered Mitzrayim is the physical aspect of it. And then where do we have the praise, right? If our structure is correct, that this is a third Haggadah, then we need to have praise. And we have not only praise for one, we have praise for both. We have praise for the spiritual freedom, which is Vayu Sham Legoy Gadol, which this is the section where all of those psukim from Devarim are expounded by Midrashim. So when it says Vayu Sham Legoy Gadol, what is the Midrash said? Milameid Shayu Yisrael Mitsuyanim Sham. This teaches that the Jews, the Israelites, were distinctive there, meaning we were spiritually, religiously distinctive. And so we had, that's the spiritual praise, the positive piece that ends this section. And the physical piece is, of course, V'yotzeinu Hashem min Mitzrayim, B'yad Chazakah, Lo Yadei Malach, Lo Yadei Sarach, Lo Yadei Shaliach, etc. So that's a third Haggadah already. Starts with the question, Ma Bikesh Lavan Harami Lasot Li... Le Ma Bikesh Lavan Ha'arami Lasot LiYakov Avinu. The answer is in a story. Paro Lo Gazar LeZacharim VeLavan Bikesh LaKor Tekol, which is both a physical and a spiritual negative, shameful piece, and it ends with praise both of the spiritual freedom or the spiritual salvation that we experienced in Bayu Sham Legoy Gadol, that we were distinctive there, and the physical freedom that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. So now we have identified, discovered a third Haggadah following the same structure. And then there's where's the thanksgiving of this part? The thanksgiving of this part is where we have, Thanksgiving of this part is the Dayenu, right? The Thanksgiving of this part is the Dayenu. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Minayin, Shekol, Makav, Makah, etc. And then, Kama Malot Tovot, L'makom Aleinu, right? The Dayenu is the Thanksgiving part of Haggadah number 3. So Haggadah number 3 follows that same structure. Question, answer of a spirit, of a negative aspect. And if in the first two Haggadot we split the spiritual and physical negative between Rav and Shmuel, in the third Haggadah, the spiritual and physical negative are combined in the Arami Oved Avi paragraph. Finally, one more Haggadah. So this is really neat. As you're going through the Seder, you could point out that now we're in the first Haggadah, and now we're in the second Haggadah, and now we're in the third, and now the fourth, and that begins with Rabban Gamliel. So now this should be easy. What's the first ingredient of each Haggadah? Question. And here we have it. We have the questions on page 28. Pesach al shum ma. Right? Pesach shayu avotenu lechem bizman shebet hamidrash hayakayam al shum ma. Why? Same thing with matzah. Matzah sha'anu ochlim al shum ma. And in English, it's even a question mark, right? Marur ze sha'anu ochlim al shum ma. So once again, we have a series of questions. What are the answers? The answers in this case are broken up. Each question is given its own answer, but it's not just an answer, it's a story, just like in the other three. Why do we eat it? Because this is what we ate when we were in Egypt. Why do we eat? This is because of the Karban Pesach in Mitzrayim. And why do we eat the matzah? Because this is what we ate when we were leaving Egypt. And why do we eat the marah? Because of the bitter life that we had in Mitzrayim. So we have the question, and we have the answer as a story. And of course, we have the negative. The negative is the fact that we were there to begin with. Each of these things was done in Mitzrayim. And the questions are, of course, given in each section. And there are elements of shame, which are the maror, and elements of praise, the Pesach and the matzah. And the matzah is actually in both, right? The matzah is the bridge. On the one hand, it's what we ate in Mitzrayim. On the other hand, it's what we were eating when we left Mitzrayim. So the matzah, in this case, we see an aspect of the Haggadah that is both. And then where is the thanksgiving? The thanksgiving is on page 30. L'fichach ananu chayavim lehodot alelu shabeach lefa'er. Therefore, it is our duty to thank, praise, Lord, glorify, etc. So what we see, and then we get to Hallel, which maybe we could see as sort of a, like the big finish of the ultimate great phrase. So we see, and that covers the whole Haggadah, right? This is the end of Magid.
There's a question?
Yeah.
If the first, if Rav and Shmuel were debating about whether you should focus on the physical and the spiritual, and the third Haggadah, which I don't know if we identified with a certain Tana or not, but the third one was sort of merging both the physical and the spiritual, why do we need the fourth one?
So that's a great question. So that's the last question, which we have to answer, is why do we need four different Haggadah? So first I'll read from the Rambam, and then I'll give you Rav Gesundheit's take on why we need each Haggadah. So first, the Rambam says, Mitzvah on page 7, Mitzvah lehodiyah levanim ve'afil lo sha'alu she'nemar v'gad levincha. It's a mitzvah to inform one's sons, even though they do not ask, as it says, you shall tell your son. Lefi dato shel ben aviv melamdo. The father should teach the son in accordance with their knowledge. Ketzat imiakatan otipesh, right? And it all depends. We've been at Siddur, we've done this ourselves. We speak to the little kids at the Seder one way, we speak to the middle schoolers another way, the teenagers another way, the adults another way. There are really multiple Seders going on because we're trying to keep everyone involved. And the adept Seder leader has to sort of juggle and make sure everyone feels that they're in. This is, I think, the key to why we have four Haggadot. The first two Haggadot we have because there's really a machloket between Rav and Shmuel as to which is the key story that we're supposed to tell. Avadim Hayinu, or Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah, we were slaves, or we were idol worshippers, or at least which is the first one that you should have. And that is told simply with questions and answers. That's sort of a lecture. That methodology is there's a question and there's an answer through a story. It's pretty straightforward. It's simple. The third Haggadah, which we didn't attribute to any one particular person, it does combine the spiritual and the physical, but the reason why it's necessary is because it's a different educational model. That's the point that Rabbi Gesundheit makes, because that's the one where all the midrashim are, all the pesukim are explicated through midrashim and through other pesukim. And that's a different methodology of teaching. If you have someone at your Seder, or the message seems to be that sometimes you can just tell the person the story, just tell them the story. But other times you want to expand. This third one is for the more advanced, for the student who wants to really delve into really what happened in Mitzrayim. Because, right, how many plagues were there at Mitzrayim? Were there 50? Were there 250? This is the one that digs deep into the existence of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim by adding psukim on top of psukim to serve as midrashim for other psukim. And so that's why there's a third. That explains the third one. It's a different educational approach to telling Sipurit Tzeit Mitzrayim, and that's also what the fourth one is. And this is the most beautiful one, I think, because what happens at the fourth one? What are we supposed to do? It's short. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to say matzah. That's the one. We point to the matzah. Mm-hmm. We point to the maror. We point to the shank bone. This is the educational model that has visual aids. Right. This is, we show everyone what's at the table. That's a different, that may be for the younger kids. They need to hold something or smell something or touch something at the Seder table so that they'll be engaged. So we have four Haggadot representing three models. The first model is like a lecture. Mm-hmm. They ask you a question and you say, oh, good question, and you give the answer. There are two because we have this machloka between Rav and Shmuel. Mm-hmm. The third Haggadah is that's one educational model. Straight out question and answer. Mm-hmm. The second educational model is a much deeper explication of what happened. It's not just we were slaves to Pyro and Egypt and God took us out, or we were idol worshippers. There's a lot more going on in that section when it's all fleshed out. That's the second educational model. And the third educational model of the Seder is the model where there are visual aids, things that people could touch and feel and smell, you know, pass around the table, which may keep other people involved at the Seder. So that's Rav Gesundheit's argument, that there are four different Haggadot representing three different educational models of the Seder, fulfilling what the Rambam says in Hilchot Chametz Matzah, that we're supposed to engage each person at the Seder in a way that's going to draw them in.
Is there like something popped in my mind? You have all this, you Rabban Gamliel's with all the tangible things,
right.
touchable things. But it's also, it seems to me, a little bit like Yechezkel, who eats the scroll. And then you have, moving backwards, you have a more in-depth explanation of what the actual experience was in Yitiyat Mitzrayim. It's not even Mitzrayim, it's coming out of Mitzrayim. And then it seems like Yeshayahu, Isaiah a little bit. And then the other two seem like the earlier, like Jeremiah mm-hmm. and the shorter ones that are much more to the point.
Okay, great.
I mean, it just popped in my mind.
That's a good analogy. So there is a structure to Haggadah, and the structure is, just to review, question, an answer. The answer to the question is in the form of a story that has to have an aspect of shame and an aspect of something positive, and thanksgiving to Hashem afterwards. That structure repeats itself four times in the Haggadah, which also it's actually an interesting model, because there sometimes many people, there's this running joke people have to come to shul the next morning and have the competition whose Seder went longest. But I think what we learn from this is it's not really about whose Seder goes longest. It's about whose Seder employs the best educational models for the people at the table. So if you have people at your table who have never been to a Seder before, you may not want to drag the Seder out till 1 a.m. You may want to use one of the earlier methodologies, just a quick question and answer, so people have a good feeling about a Seder, so that next year maybe they'll be able to do the second model, which delves deeper into it. Or if you have people at your table who you feel maybe they're young, there are a lot of children who need more props, so we have the props of the Seder plate, but we also have own props that we all bring. We dress up, we have masks, this, that. All those things are elements of the three different educational models that are at the Seder. We, of course, do all of them, but we could, we don't have to do all of them. I think that parts of the Haggadah could be skipped. And even if we do all of them, sometimes we do some of them quicker and move through certain parts quicker than other parts. Again, because the key is to get the story across within the framework of those required ingredients in a way that's going to give everyone the opportunity to participate and in the most meaningful way.
So we have people who came from the Soviet Union coming to our, who came out of the Soviet Union when they were kids, coming to our Seder this year.
Right.
One girl, actually her parents came out. She's totally Chilani, totally secular, from Israel. She's interested in what is the Seder. And one woman is bringing her little girl because she wants her to be exposed to a real, quote-unquote,
right.
real Seder. So it should be really,
That's
very
great.
Interesting.
So you gotta think ahead about...
Oh, there's a lot of planning going
right,
on.
About how it's gonna look, right. We have at our Seder, our first Seder, we have lots of guests. And this, which, so that's, that Seder looks one way. And the second Seder is just our family. Mm-hmm. That has a very different feel to it. And I think this is a really interesting way to sort of get us focused. First of all, it helps remind people that it's not haphazard, the Haggadah, at all. There's really, here we see a very clear structure. And if we use that structure and expand on it and use the theory of that structure, we could create really meaningful Seder.
And even if we are able to give a little introduction, especially before the third one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the one that most people have a hard time
right.
with.
Right.
That it's the least accessible right. to us. And
right. But that's the one that really represents Talmud Torah at its deepest,
right.
which may not be what everyone at the Seder needs at that point, which is exactly what Rabbi Gesundheit is arguing. Okay.
Cool. Thank you.